Beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host. You know we have a commitment here on Advanced Living Radio, week in, week out, to bring value to your lives, things that are going to support you, especially now when we need it more than ever, on the verge of greatness, and sometimes the birthing process can be a little arduous unless we have certain secrets to help us. And speaking of secrets to help us, our sponsor of the program, AdvancedLiving.com. I invite you to go visit AdvancedLiving.com and find something that is so easy to make a difference in your life. There's a plug-in technology called the Comfort Technology. You plug it in, it's like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room. It just raises the healing vibration, mitigates electromagnetic stress. Oh boy, get ready for something wonderful. And now, today, Advanced Living Radio, we have a commitment, week in, week out, day in, day out. I pray, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes, we're on the way. 2012 coming up, all kinds of excitement. Well, we are in for a major, major treat. You've heard of course, most of you, the wonderful mysteries of the ancient Egyptian civilization and some things. I mean, how do you build a pyramid? How do you move huge 20-ton stones? How do you get them cut so beautifully so that they fit so tightly that there's no mortar? I mean, there are things that are just amazing. And short of that, how do we get a few of the stones in our life to fit, even if we use a little bit mortar? How do we build a better life? Well, we are in for a superb treat today. We have Dr. Margie Mulligan, and no, she did not invent Mulligan stew, but she may have eaten it. What we are going to find out is that she has been on an amazing path of wonderful healing. One of the few among us who actually came from a family that was very much into natural healing and herbs, the ancient things that our grandparents used and some families still use today. And then on her path, interestingly enough, as she went off to college, it was like amazing how college exposed her to a fast food lifestyle because of a tight budget, which helped her to be ill and then go into the student health center, which was into Western medicine and gave her pharmaceuticals, which made her things even worse. So she has a firsthand experience of a precious child that was nurtured and then went off and got exposed to this stuff and then has basically been on this path for many years of discovery of these ancient healing things. And 1987 happened to be an amazing turnaround year, which is some of the theme of our show, because she's working with an Egyptian mystery school. And we know that there are things that we just don't know. And the Egyptians did some amazing things, and it wasn't just about the pyramids, healing power, intuition. There was a lot going on. And in 1987, she entered a mystery school, and it was wonderful because for years this information had been withheld, secret teachings. For the first time in 17 generations, these things were made available. And Dr. Mulligan is here to help us learn about these things, and she's basically did a wonderful career in teaching and is retired from that, which then opened the door to now a wonderful healing practice and counseling practice, and now opening a mystery school where we have access to these ancient teachings that can help us tremendously to deal with our lives right now and with some of the changes that are going on the planet. So get ready, folks. Get out that pad and pencil to make notes. Get ready to go to a wonderful website, www.heal-with-energy.com. So heal-with-energy.com. And we're going to say welcome, Dr. Mulligan.
Thank you. Well, you're so nice, Ken. Thank you for all the kind words.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I am just thrilled and excited because we know we need some stuff, and we think, well, is modern breakthroughs in technology, modern science, that could save us, and certainly there's wonderful things that happen there, but what about stuff that was known that was lost and can come back to us?
Right. So, well, like the sound-based MRI that the Egyptians have that's based at Saqqara, that I'll be seeing when I go to Egypt in October. I'm looking forward to working with a woman who knows the sound healing techniques. And they used to literally, the priests in Egypt used to have people lie on an altar and use sound to get a sense of what was going on in their body, like our MRIs are. And it's amazing processes that they had that we now have invented, but we've done it a different way.
Ah, okay. Okay. And apparently they didn't need a huge amount of fancy equipment to accomplish some amazing things.
No.
No. This is wonderful.
They used a lot of natural processes. It was water and the vibration in the earth, the ley lines, and the power of the Egyptian priests and priestesses to help them transmute the atoms so that they can literally get the power to do telepathy, manifesting, levitation. That's how they did the pyramid with anti-gravity. They used sound and energy to create an anti-gravity situation, so all they had to do was just nudge the rock into place.
Oh, I'll tell you, that's wonderful. And that really would help to explain why something, you know, we think, well, how did they do it? And geez, maybe they had extra slaves. They brought on another 10,000, 50,000 slaves to get it done.
No. It was the priests and priestesses who used their spiritual powers to raise, using water and the energy of the stones to create an anti-gravity effect. And then they could just easily, well, they could either carve the stones the way they wanted with that technology, that high-energy technology, or they could move the stones into place. And I mean, just, it is amazing as I've learned more about this over the last couple of years recently. But,
wow.
Yeah, the ancient Egyptians had a high-vibration way of doing all the things we do and more in our modern society.
Huh. Well, the timing couldn't be better because...
Yeah.
As you know, what people are experiencing, and maybe you can add a little bit more into that. We know 2012 is coming up. There's been a lot of prophecies about it's a dramatic change. It's nice to know it doesn't mean the end of the world. The planet's not going to explode, and we're going
right.
to vaporize out into space. So Can you help give us a little bit of insight into that?
Sure. Yeah, as the planet continues to raise its vibration, coming towards 2012, what people are experiencing a lot as they're saying, well, if it's supposed to be a good thing, this 2012, why do I feel so bad? And one thing I've noticed is that people are just amazingly overwhelmed. I mean, it doesn't take much. You know, like coming home from a four-day vacation and seeing 200 emails in your mailbox, having five calls waiting for you that have to be done right now. You know, all the things that we have set ourselves to do in the physical world can be overwhelming at times. Plus, the emotions of other people can be overwhelming. Our mood can be out of balance because of what's going on the earth, but also all of the intense socioeconomic changes that are happening. If you tune into television, you're bound to have your vibration go down, and that affects your energy body. And you're not going to be able to hold the high vibrations the planet is bringing to us if you tune in to people who have negative energy, content on television or in newspapers that have negative energy, or tuning into your own thoughts that have negative energy. All of that will hold you back because it'll take your body vibration down, and our goal is to uplift ourselves. And so as a healing professional, if you don't have a spiritual path that inspires your clients and uplifts you, you're not going to be able to provide really good service. You're not going to be able to hold on to the good feelings that do come if you pay attention to all of the low vibration things. And you'll feel the mismatch between the high vibration the planet's receiving and how you're feeling, and then you'll feel even worse. So those are the kinds of things people are experiencing as we move towards 2012. It can be a delightful process if you're conscious of the vibration that you're holding. And even our thoughts have vibration. This has been scientifically established in laboratories all across the country.
Wow. So that advice about keep the sunny side up, you have a good attitude. We're in a time where it's not just as much an optional thing. It's more like if you do it, you'll move through this time more easily, and if you don't, get ready for a rough ride.
Yeah, you'll be taken through it kicking and screaming. Yeah, and that's not much fun. So we have a choice every day and every minute. If things are not going well, just, you know, literally what you learn in the mystery school is how to literally come to terms with and accept what's going on right now and then shift your energy to a higher vibration.
Now, I guess there's different times in Egyptian history, and you're talking about some of the things that allowed them to be so amazing, to hold a high vibration. What was it that they knew or did?
Well, there's been a cycle going on the planet. You probably, you know, your listeners and you have probably heard this from variety of different spiritual teachers, and about the time of the what a lot of people talk about as the flood or the breakup of Atlantis, about 10,000, 11,000 BC, the energy of the planet really, really shifted dramatically and started going down. Before that, the pyramids were built before 12,000 BC. They were built probably between 15 and 25,000 years ago, although our archaeologists don't see that fact. If you talk to the indigenous wisdom keepers, the people who've been holding the spiritual truth for centuries, they'll tell you that the high vibration of the ancient Egyptians was what allowed them to do all these magical things. As the energy of the Earth went down, as the high technology the Egyptians and the other cultures had been using was destroyed by the flood and by those explosions, literally what people had to do was try to find a way to keep their energy high. And so the priests and priestesses did what they could, but they had to teach people a comprehensive self-help process so that they could deal with these energetic and spiritual and psychological imbalances, because they affect every major energy center of our body. Sometimes it's a survival issue and you feel it financially, you feel it in your gut. Sometimes it's a heart issue and you feel it in your chest. Sometimes it's a physical energy and you feel just your tailbone is just really sore and out of balance. Sometimes it's your head, and people get migraines all the time because they've used their mind in a way that doesn't allow them to balance their energy. And so learning to balance your energy using something as simple as a figure eight lying on its side right at your third eye and balancing your two hemispheres can be a wonderful technique. It's something I learned in my mystery school, and it's just really stood me in good stead.
The
mystery school was... I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, you were mentioning the infinity or the figure eight on its side, and
right.
You visualize that at your third eye, or you have a tattoo
place there? You visualize it,
and
then if you're a kinesthetic person, you would maybe use your finger or imagine a pearl inside that figure eight moving back and forth, whatever way is best for you because of your psychic or intuitive skills. Imagine the energy moving around the path of that figure eight. And if you sit and do that for 3 to 5 minutes, you'll feel a shift. If you've been doing a bunch of bookkeeping and you've been very analytical, you'll notice that you're back in balance and you can think of the intuitive things. If you've been doing a lot of intuitive stuff and you have to do something logical and analytical, you'll be back in balance. So the ability to do something simple like get your logical and your intuitive brain in balance is just something that can be so simple.
Ah, okay. And the pearl, which would be a white, I know there's so many different colors. Is there a specific reason for using the pearl color? Or will
That's
any
just what,
come,
what came to mind. I know that a lot of people use a pearl when they're moving energy through that. I've also heard a lot of yoga practitioners say, imagine the pearl coming in your mouth and going down into your lungs, and then imagine it coming back up. It's just to have a focus, an intense focus for your mind and for your experience, so that you can pay attention to where the energy is in that figure eight. Some people can just imagine it. Some people can just intend it, and it'll work just fine. But I'm more kinesthetic, and I've always needed to really focus on imagining it move in a very conscious way.
Right. Now, some people suggest that when doing the figure eight shape, that when crossing the center line, to be moving in a direction so that each time you cross the center line, you're going from below to up versus going from high down to low. Do you know, in your theories, does that make any difference which way you go?
In my experience, it hasn't, but if some of your listeners are having success with that, then I support it. I think that whatever works for you is the important thing.
All right. So do your figure eights, folks, one way or the other. Test it out both ways. Find out which way works for you, and just use that technique with a little meditative break to come back into balance. Now, there is a gem, a little pearl of wisdom to get us rolling here. I'm imagining there's probably some other things.
There's lots of them. In fact, that's one of the things that throughout the mystery school, there's 8 sessions, and basically in each one of the sessions, it's focused on a chakra or an energy center, except there's both a heart and a high heart, which is more just kind of right by your lungs. So we do all 7 of the major chakras plus the high heart. And for each of those shenkha or chakras, there are dozens of energy tools, meditative tools, in things that you imagine or intend or focus on that can help you get your energy in balance for that particular energy center. Because it stands to reason that if your mind is out of balance, if you're logical and intuitive parts of you are out of balance, it's going to take a different kind of energy or focus than if your sexual organs are out of balance. It's just a different energy at each of the energy centers or chakras. So each one of the sessions is filled with lots of techniques and methods. In fact, I used to joke with my friends that once I took the mystery school, I didn't need to have a psychotherapist or a doctor most of the time because I could do self-help and address each of the issues that came up. Didn't mean that I didn't go to them, but I didn't have to go as much.
So
it's kind of like having it's like your own storehouse of healing techniques that work body, mind, and spirit.
This to me sounds so very positive. Some of the teachers had theories that they put forward that things, as we're hearing more frequently, start as energy and then come into physical form. And on that pathway, they go from energy into a mental realm, and then from a mental realm into an emotional realm, and then from an emotional realm into a physical realm. And so it's kind of saying that if someone has a physical problem, that there was an early warning in some imbalanced emotions, and prior to that, there was an earlier warning in some mental confusion or conflict of some sort. But if those things don't get addressed in the mental or emotional realms, then we end up dealing with it in the physical body, and yet you're reminding us, if I'm understanding, through the mystery school things, we can get back to addressing all those ranges through the energetic processes that you can teach.
Correct. Well, because that is what spirit is. That's what your divine self or the cosmic consciousness or divine consciousness, whatever you want to call it, that's what it is. It's all energy. Everything is energy. And so you're basically learning that it could be a trauma at the spiritual level. It could be a trauma at mental, emotional, or it could be a trauma at the physical level. You need to deal with it at the level where it was created. But if you start at a higher level, your job is easier. If I start at the spiritual, mental, or emotional level, it's going to be a lot easier than trying to fix it, in quotes, at the physical level. Because it's been around long enough to come into physical form, it's going to take a long time to get it out of physical form in most cases. That's why there aren't very many magic pills, magic bullets.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting because to me, you're helping to bridge an important gap. One of the sayings in the Bible that's so powerful is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Whether that means better health, more money, relationships. And, of course, that's nice to say, well, seek first the kingdom. That's a little bit of vague and general. And now we're thinking, oh, wait a minute. There are teachings that weren't just read this passage in the Bible, but actually techniques for connecting to these spiritual processes.
Right. And so the kingdom ends up being a state of consciousness that you are able to learn how to go to and how to hold in your consciousness so that when things are crazy around you, you're able to stay balanced and centered and your energy is not thrown off at the psycho-spiritual level, at the physical level, not thrown off by the things that are going on around you, the discordant emotions. It could be the trauma was caused by some memory of an experience that you had that was emotional or mental or physical, or it could have been an experience that was spiritual. And what the Egyptians taught us is that you contract when you feel hurt, when you feel pain. And so the more you contract around a certain issue, the more congestion you have in that area. And so it ends up being essentially a little energetic cluster inside your body that's blocking the free flow of energy.
Oh, wow.
So learning to dissolve that is one of the key tools to focus to basically clear out your energy center, your whole being of the stuck energy.
Huh. Jeez. Wow. And now
as the school, people would get more information by doing what? Go to your website? What do we do?
Well, we go to the website and it has the information. I've actually am starting on the weekend, the 15th and 16th, but I've got a group of people who are starting later, probably in July, because they couldn't attend it, and so we'll just kind of merge the two different groups together. There's all kinds of information about the Mystery School. If people want to hear a lot more detail than I can go into on a one-hour show, they can go to that, to my website, and I'll send them a recording of the teleseminar that we had where I talked about it, and there's all kinds of documents and testimonials from people who've taken my Mystery School in the past.
Wow. Wow. Now, I was talking about some of the tricks of the Egyptians. There's a phrase that you've used, transmuted the atom.
Yes.
And that one sounds kind of fun.
It is. Well, you know, when you think of what we know in our everyday world about Egypt and the Egyptian magicians, the people who were the high initiates, they were able to transmute the atom. That's what allowed them to have that skill. They could, like Moses throwing his staff on the ground and having it turn into a snake, dividing the Red Sea so that he and his followers could go across. All those kinds of activities were all possible because Moses was a high initiate of the Egyptian mysteries and was able to blow apart the H2O molecule, the water molecule that makes telepathy possible, that makes manifestation easy, that makes levitation and anti-gravity work to allow you to bilocate, to show up in two places at an energy body and then come back to your physical body when you're done, to teleport. There's evidence in some of the pyramids in Egypt that the Egyptians don't talk about very much, but there's actually evidence of teleportation chambers. Alchemy was another kind of skill that you could accomplish when you can transmute the atom. And this is like you wouldn't try to run a marathon having just run around the block five times every day. You would have to build that strength and build that discipline of a lot of good, healthy eating for running a marathon and learning how to train your body so that your muscles and your whole energy system work effectively. The same thing with all of these skills. To learn how to transmute the atom is a very, very finely honed skill that is one. It's a muscle we don't, in our culture here in America and Western culture, we don't think of that as a muscle. We think of it as some people who are psychic and some people who aren't. But we all have that ability if we just start using those muscles. Egyptians systematically evolved their energy system so they could hold more light. They felt really good, and then they could hold that feeling good. They could have more joy and more love in their life, and then they could accomplish all these awesome tasks. And all this stuff is documented in the Greek histories and the Christian Bible, even if you don't know from the mystery schools what the things were that the priests and the priestesses were able to do.
Huh. Wow. Well, this is pretty exciting. It kind of brings to mind for me the idea of when there were special healings, biblically, with Jesus doing healings, and some they would touch, he would speak a word, someone would touch the hem of his garment, different ways, and
right.
they would have a healing, and then it's like we're thinking, okay, well, what do I need to do? And you're talking about some ways to essentially, not just, because I hear things about, well, we can help you to change beliefs, and there's techniques for changing beliefs. And yet I'm seeing instances where people have, quote, had a belief changed, but it still hasn't shown up as any difference in their life. And I'm just wondering, is there not only importance of our belief, but the underlying vibrational level at which we are resonating.
Absolutely. In fact, the reason why people cannot change a habit that is a mental habit or an emotional habit is that they're not changing the vibration of what caused that mental or energetic or emotional reaction. If I'm accustomed to feeling angry and feeling impatient, that is an energy that's in my system. I have to clear that out and start cultivating other positive emotions, and then the energy in my system can change. If I have a belief and I'm not changing the emotion or the energy of it, that's going to stay around. The energy is what you have to change, and that's why the priests and priestesses of Egypt were called masters of energy. They were called masters of breath because they were able to, having fine-tuned and cleared and clarified and purified all of their energy centers, were able to eliminate those psychospiritual and physical issues so that they didn't have them in their system anymore. And we have all been around people who just really have a nice energy and you feel good when you're around them.
Yes.
Those are the kinds of people who don't have a lot of stuck energy or stuck negative cellular memories or stuck emotional or mental habits. And you literally have to change the energy of it, the vibration of it, before it will go away. In fact, if you start feeling better, that's why people often, when they start meditating regularly, start noticing that they feel better, that everything starts getting better in their life because they're meditating every day. That's only one way of changing your vibration. It's a good one, but it's only one, and there's lots of ways you can do that that you can learn in the Egyptian Mystery School for how to essentially raise your own vibration. Now, there's lots of tools for raising your own vibration that aren't involved with an Egyptian Mystery School, and those are, there's a lot of those on my website, and there are a lot of other people have it, but that's the thing that's really important, is that you literally have to change the energy. Everything is energy. And so if you're trying to change a thought and you're not dealing with the energetic part of the thought, how you feel and how you think about the topic, if you don't change the energy behind it, it's still going to come back. It's going to be there, stuck in your energy system.
Ah, wow. Okay, and so, and these are techniques that you teach in the school.
Right, yeah.
Or I guess you also do private work for people?
I do private sessions, and I also teach people, because I honestly believe that people, myself included, I started learning this back in 87, that I had to learn how to take care of myself and how to change my own energy, that, sure, you go to other people when you need help and you can't manage it, but if you're able to clear out the cellular memory, clear out the stuck energy yourself, if you learn how to do energy healing, if you learn how to use acupressure or processes, energy medicine, things like that, you can literally change your energy just by touching or tapping your body in certain places. Another thing that people have heard about probably is emotional freedom technique, EFT, and there's a lot of derivatives of that, thought field therapy and that sort of thing. All of those are self-help techniques for changing your energy. One of my favorite teachers, Donna Eden, says, if you can change your energy, you can change your life.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as, you know, if you're tired, tapping on your chest, right where you're sore, right there, and you're right above your lungs, that sore spot, if you tap right there and breathe deeply 3 or 4 times, with both hands, tapping one on each side, all of a sudden you're not going to need that extra boost of caffeine as much as you did. You'll find that you have energy because you've put your energy back in balance with that simple technique.
Wow. Wow. And you said that tapping that on the along the center line of the chest?
Well, tapping on your sternum also helps. Tapping like 5 or 6 times as you're breathing deeply on your sternum helps to raise your energy and build your and boost your thymus. But if you take both hands and you put one hand in the middle of one side of your chest and the other hand in the middle of the other side of your chest and find that tender spot, you can just tap right there where it's tender, maybe 10 or 12 times while you're breathing deeply, and that will get all, that's the center point, kind of like the highway intersection for all of your meridians, and it will help you to raise your vibration just by tapping right there. There's lots of techniques like that that are in, there's a whole bunch of books on my website. If you go to the links page, the page that has all the references, that both acupressure and Donna Eden's energy medicine, that show you all kinds of really simple techniques that in 5 or 10 minutes a day you can, and in fact even just 1 or 2 minutes when you need it, can learn how to shift your energy. So it's not just the mystery schools, although that's a very thorough, comprehensive process that has real clear map for you of what psychospiritual issues are connected with each organ, with each energy center, and teaching you how to shift your energy and how to raise your consciousness. But there's lots of other ways as well. It's just this is the most, how do I say it, the most evolved and the most helpful, I think, because it gave me lots of techniques and tools, and I didn't have to go 5 or 6 different places. It was just all in one body of knowledge and all integrated.
Ah, well, that's great. I like that. When you can.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it was a wonderful technique. In fact, I would just go to the documents that I had from the two and a half year long mystery school, and just go to the binder that had the issue that I was working on and just flip through until I found the tool or the technique or the insight that I needed, and then I would use it to clear out the energy that was hung up or stuck.
Yeah, this is great. This is great. Wow. Now, when we're stuck, I guess, and we'll get the higher vibrations, then transmuting the atom are techniques that we can implement, right?
But yes.
when we're stuck, I'm just kind of wondering some of the impact of low vibrations and when stuff is kind of stuck in these cellular
uh-huh.
memories.
Well, there's lots of different ways that we how do we get these cellular memories that are stuck, and I've talked about some of them, you know, thinking negative thoughts that limit you, or feeling bad and just wallowing in it, so to speak. There's a time and a place to wallow in it until you finally just say, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore, but it could come from any number of things. And so when you find that you're hung up about something, when you're feeling bad or thinking thoughts that are making you feel bad, then what you can basically do is, I mean, they affect your entire body. They, as you said earlier, it may start at the mental level, it may start at the emotional level, and then it just cascades right down to the physical. And pretty soon, if it showed up in physical form, then you know you've been thinking that for a long time, or you've been feeling that way for a long time. So feeling like you're not worthy is going to cause stress in our heart. So that's why there's so much problem with heart disease, because this is a culture that tells people all the things they do wrong and how unworthy they are. If they're constantly being judged and told they're not clever, they're going to start having headaches and feeling bad and having it center in their head. If they're physically criticized for being clumsy, then they're going to have issues in their tailbone and their first chakra. So literally, it ends up being a spring cleaning that you end up needing to do to get to the higher vibration. And so you take them one at a time as they come up. And
right.
So when you start feeling worthy, when you start feeling clever, when you start feeling graceful, because you've cleared out the negative habit and you've kind of pulled your life force energy out of the old feelings and old thoughts, then you can hold a higher vibration. You can fill that life force energy back into your body in a really healthy way.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that's so important.
Yeah.
Now, so we're understanding, and you've given some good examples. We're thinking I'm not worthy. There's a heart energy involved. I'm not clever, I'm stupid, whatever, on that intellect, which I don't know.
Right.
Is that the third eye?
Third eye or the whole brain. It could be the crown chakra, but it could
too.
Be the third eye. Yeah.
Okay, and then the clumsy is the root chakra and just our movement in the world.
Uh-huh. And the reason why so many women have difficulty right now with their sexual organs and the second chakra is all congested is they've been told all their life that they're not worthy, that women are not worth anything, that taking care of children is not a useful thing to pay for. It's something you do because you have to. I mean, you know, that when you start having negative feelings because you've been taught your whole life that, let's say, men, for example, are superior to you, and what the man wants is what he gets, and what the woman wants, she doesn't get. That ends up turning into form in the second chakra, in the pelvis. And so our sexual organs, and especially for women, the ovaries and the uterus end up being, that's why there's so many cancers and so many surgeries for those parts of our body.
Mm.
Because those are the thoughts and the beliefs and the attitudes that we've absorbed from living in this culture.
Wow. Wow. That's the ouch is a simple thing to say.
Yeah.
And here we are realizing, my friend Reverend Michael Beckwith makes mention, it's so important now for men to come into a place of peace with the feminine energies within them, and of course
yes.
a respect for the women who've carried the feminine
right.
energies.
Uh-huh.
And now you're, you know, going in and explaining a little bit more about some of the consequences of the physiological level.
Right, right. And the thing that's amazing to me is, like, for example, there's a hospital there are a couple of hospitals in China where they use a spiritual healing technique, and they bring people in who have been taught what they're going to be doing, but not taught how to do it, and they can show you on an ultrasound how that person has a tumor, and in 3 minutes, the tumor is gone because of using these spiritual techniques, holding in their mind the image of that person, of that woman being completely well, and there being no tumor there at all. And I mean, I've seen the videotape, and it's just amazing to see how quickly our spiritual healing can have an effect when we're well-trained, when we've learned how to use those muscles so that we can hold the image or the concept or the feeling that somebody is really well. So many times, even the work on manifesting doesn't focus on the feelings enough.
Yeah.
Because if you're not focusing on, if you're only thinking, I'm going to get this wonderful car, I'm going to get this wonderful job, that's one level of reality, but it doesn't always translate down into the physical unless you start feeling it, unless you start experiencing it and energetically embracing it.
Ah.
So they don't really get rid of these negative things. What you do, because if you've probably heard the expression, what you resist persists, and like you can't tell a three-year-old, well, don't be afraid, it's not going to work. The child has to experience a different vibration, a different reality, to be able to believe that the child is safe. And so the same thing is true. You literally end up needing to create an environment where you can feel or sense or experience a higher vibration. And sometimes self-help tools and the techniques, the kinds of techniques you learn in the mystery school, are wonderful tools. Some people can do it only with their focus or their consciousness. Other people need some training wheels as they get started. But you need to learn to, what I've discovered, this was the hardest message for me, to accept the shadow part of myself. And when I acknowledged it and accepted it, that it was there and didn't go into denial, then I was able to get to the center of what was causing the congested energy.
And now, would the shadow part be it all related to ego, or are those separate things?
Well, the shadow part, the ego is the part of you that says you don't have a shadow. The ego would like you to think that you're all good and that you're perfect and you're wonderful and everybody else is wrong. And the ego knows the answer. The shadow part of you is the whole, all of you. There's light and there's shadow. There's parts of you that are beautiful and light-filled and loving. And then there's parts of you that feel hateful and experience anger and frustration. We are people who experience life in a complete spectrum. And if you deny the parts that are socially unacceptable, that you don't want to own, if you can't accept something, you deny it, or you discount it, or you pretend it doesn't exist, that becomes the shadow. That becomes a part of you that ends up running a program that you don't want to have run, because it's saying, okay, well, you've told me that you're not angry, but I feel angry, and I don't believe you. That's a part of you. That's the shadow that's saying, uh-uh. Nope. And so then the anger comes out when you least expect it, because you haven't addressed it, when you haven't dealt with and acknowledged it and brought it into the light. It's not like you're turning a light switch so that it becomes dark. You turn the light switch so the light dispels the dark, so that the vibration of light comes into whatever you're experiencing. And like with fear, if you focus on feeling love, filling yourself up with love, you'll find that you can't hold a thought of fear. Now, sometimes when you're really gripped by fear, that's really challenging to do. And so sometimes you need help. You need meditate or pray or chant or even pet your cat or go walking in the sun. I mean, all of those things are things that can shift your energy. But the key is you have to fill yourself up in whatever way works for you with a higher vibration, and then the lower vibrations can't hold.
Wow, that's so important. To hold that, when I think of one of the things that Reverend Michael makes mention of, we have this capacity as human beings to think beyond our current circumstance.
Yes.
And so, yes, something is going on, and it's not like to deny that it's going on, but it's like to say, okay, yes, this is going on, and the remedy is to think past that into the solution and feel and enjoy the and dwell upon that solution until it actually grips hold in physical form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you pay attention to what you want, the positive aspect of what you want, and talk about it and say, this is what I'm dreaming of, this is what I want to happen, I'm starting to feel like there's a little bit of evidence that it's starting to come to me, and focus on the little bit of evidence that you're feeling or sensing or seeing, your mood's going to go up. But if you keep focusing on the, oh my God, I had a check bounce, oh my God, this thing that the doctor told me, I've got this tumor and it hasn't gone away. You know, if you start focusing on the things that are the way they are and you don't focus on what you want, then it's not going to come into form because you're not holding the vibration. The vibration is the key. The energy of each energy center needs to be raised so that you can ease the distress of whatever is causing you trouble.
Ah, okay. This is important. As we've got a few minutes left in the program, and I want to refocus on the benefits of your mystery school as to how they'd relate to our daily lives, and especially coming into 2012.
Okay,
and
great.
And then to make sure, folks, to visit for this information, www.heal-with-energy.com, so you can learn about Dr. Mulligan's work, and so help us with that a little bit more about that school.
Sure. All right. So in fact, I had a really good validation from this for me from one of my mystery school students, the one that just finished back in February, and she looked at this list of four things that I'm going to tell you are the benefits. And I said, is that what you got? Were those benefits to you? And she said, they were absolutely what I got out of the mystery school. But she said, I hear people talking about having their emotions being overwhelmed, having the mood out of balance, being caught up in fear and having cellular energetic debris. And so that's what people are focusing on. So that's why I started out talking about the benefits in that way. But as you raise your vibration to a higher level, what you end up getting is a life that feels better. You know specifically how to consciously disengage from a situation, a thought, a feeling that is causing you distress or pain, and then how to engage in the more satisfying ones. That ends up being that muscle that I was talking about. You end up learning how to strengthen that muscle. You end up being able to clear the dysfunctional cellular memories in your body, the stuck energy. And the Egyptians talk about this clearing and evolving of each of the energy centers, each shenka in the entire energy system, so that you're able to have an etheric body that can move and can help you both after death but also during this lifetime. So when you have distress in any part of your body or your energy system and you feel bad and hurt and can't function, you learn how to move out of those old patterns.
So
it's something you've practiced, and then it's something you can go back to and you can use it. You also learn healing and evolutionary tools. I became an energy healer in mystery school. I didn't even know you could put your hands on somebody and they could get better. I didn't know I could put my hands on myself and I could get better. So you learn very powerful self-help and energy tools and meditation practices to use when you need them, so that you have your own energy doctor right there in the house with you day and night for any situation. You have your own personal psychotherapist right in your consciousness. And
wow.
You can understand what's causing the distress and be able to move out of it much faster than you could before. And then, obviously, and this is when I hear people talking about, I wish I could connect with my intuition or my higher self or my spiritual guidance more easily. That's another thing you end up doing because you're practicing every single initiation, how to connect with the divine archetypes of ancient Egypt. And so you learn how you can know what the answer to a decision should be. You can just, you know, which job should I take? Which house should I live in? Which person should I get in a relationship with? Which answer should I tell my child? Something as simple as what should I have for dinner? You can get divine answers to that just by having a stronger connection to your higher self or your divine consciousness. So those are the four major things that you end up being better at and being able to have because you've practiced, you've developed those muscles, and you've got the ability to essentially address whatever's going on in your energy system, whatever's going on inside you and the field around you.
Wow. Excellent. That is wonderful. And the timing for the schools coming up is?
Well, we've got the first, one of the first and second chakra initiations is happening this weekend, but I've got several people who want to take it in late June or middle July, and so I'm in the process of setting up the date. So sometime in June or July, I'll be setting up the next of the first and second chakra or Shenka mystery school. So don't have the date yet for that, but if you go to my website, if your listeners go to my website and sign up and say, I'm interested in the mystery school, tell me when the next one's starting. I'll be sure to make sure that put them on my list, and they'll get an email. I'll be setting the date up in the next week or two. It's just I've been traveling a lot and I haven't had a chance to do it.
Sure. Okay. Well, golly, that's exquisite to be able to do this. The school, to me, to have access to this ancient wisdom and to be able to apply it to our lives and to have someone like yourself who's used it for years, back in, like I said, it was 1987 when you first got exposed to this, wasn't it?
Right. That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So to me, that's a wonderful thing. So I want to encourage my listeners to go visit heal-with-energy.com, and then you can look up that part of the school, and that would be .com, and then /Egyptian.asp.
Or they can use the tab at the top that says Energy Work and find the Egyptian one.
Energy Work, see? There's more ways to get to the top of the mountain.
Right.
This is excellent.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There
is some stuff on the front page about the Mystery School, but not much. If you have to go down into the Energy page.
Good. Okay. Well,
and if anybody wants a recording of that longer teleseminar, I'd be happy to send that. It's free. It'll give you more clear information, even more thorough, detailed information about what's included in the content of the Mystery School, and what more you'll learn in the Mystery School.
Oh, fantastic! This is wonderful. Well, I just want to thank you, Dr. Mulligan, as we wrap up, for you taking time out of your busy schedule to share with us, and just wish you so much success to fill your school time and time again so that
we
can keep raising our health and our vibration for everyone on the planet.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I love being able to talk about the Mystery School, and the more people that know this is available, even if they're not able to go this year, I'll be offering it again next year. Eventually, they'll have that. It'll put a seed in their mind, and they'll someday come back to it when they need it most.
Ah, that's wonderful. Well, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
To you, my beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in each week. And I wish you and Dr. Mulligan just wonderful blessings upon your life. Until we meet again, God bless and goodbye for now.